to another Mysterious Mini, the weekly minisode where we tell you all about new book releases and events happening in-store and online. I'm your host, Becca.
And I'm Gary.
And I am back from Chicago.
Welcome back. It's good Thank to have you.
It is so nice to be back, but also, so they're 2 hours ahead there, and I tried really hard to resist the time change. But also because I had a lot of early mornings, it meant getting up at basically 6 a.m. our time.
Ooh.
Most days. And so, like, I'm pretty tired because now I keep waking up early and I don't like to do that.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, early morning is my enemy.
Right. My daily routine normally when I'm at the store, I'm up at like 8 o'clock. So that I can catch the bus and get to the store on time.
Yeah.
So these days, Thursdays, when we record the podcast, I have like this home shift and then I don't have to start till 11. So like I get to sleep in one day a week and it's great.
Oh my God. I can't even sleep in because like, you know, I take medicine for my ADHD and like there's a time limit on that, you know?
Yeah, that's
true. If I took it at like this time, that means I'm going to be up way late and I do not want to do that.
Yeah, that's fair. It's good to have you back, though. Recording by myself is always a weird thing. I feel like I'm, like, rambly when I'm by myself.
No, I know what you mean. I've only had to do it a couple of times. You've done it way more than me, for sure. But, like,
the it happens,
few
you know.
Times I've done it, it feels so weird.
Yeah, it's all, I'm always just like, do people care to listen to me talk about this right now?
Like, literally, I'm like, do my neighbors hear me? Do they think I'm weird?
Do my roommates think I'm 15? Crazy?
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay, we don't have a lot this week, so we should just dive right in, I think.
Yeah. Let's just get right into it. Do you want to talk about this first event?
Yeah. Today at 7 o'clock, and this is let me preface this by saying it is a bundle ticketed event.
Yeah.
And tickets are still available. I just remember, like, just for you all to understand, you have to go buy the bundle to get into the event tonight.
Yes.
It is Melissa and Jessica Benoist with their book, The Powers, Haven Secret.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Super exciting. Your bundle will include a copy of the book, a link to the virtual event. It says that the email will go out at 2 p.m. today. So... Mm-hmm. Hopefully you're hearing this before then. I'm not sure.
I think if you place an order after 2 p.m. when the mass email goes out, any orders that come in after that will get processed and will be just sent that confirmation email. We'll just have the link in it for you.
I assume that's what would happen.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way that we're going to like not let you come, man. We want you to come join us.
And so this is one, it's not like, it doesn't, so this for people who are buying the ticket bundle, that get a copy of the book, that's for like domestic orders specifically, because it's been really, really hard for us to do international shipping to a lot of places right now. So there is like, for people who are international, who want to view the event, but are in a country that we can't ship to, we have a $5 like ticket option, like specifically just for those international viewers.
Yeah.
So you can just pay that $5 fee. That $5 fee is not included in the virtual ticket bundle that comes with the book. The cost of the book is your ticket, basically.
Yeah. And again, we do apologize for that. Obviously, it is so far out of our control. Like,
yeah.
If we could change it, we would. We want to give you the book. It's good.
It's been really frustrating because there are a lot of places that we used to be able to ship to without any trouble that now we just can't. So like, I think we can't get anything to the UK. We can't get anything to the EU mostly. I think even Australia right now we can't because they don't have enough couriers. Like, it's wild. Yeah, it's wild.
Oh, the last thing I want to mention for this event is that you do get a signed book plate, but it will not be personalized.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware of that. Usually we offer personalizations for most of our events, but not this one, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just because this is a big tour that they're doing, I am assuming.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm not sure what all the what other stores they're working with. But we have like a lot of people that have been signing up for this one already. This is like one of our biggest virtual events we've done in a while. So
yeah,
should be a lot
we're
of
really
fun.
Excited to have you all there. It should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And also, like, please go check out Jessica Benoist's other work. Melissa Benoist, I'm sure most of you are familiar with, is an actress, has been on Glee, Whiplash, and is Supergirl in Supergirl. But her sister is also a writer of, like, sci-fi and fantasy. And
I think that's right.
Yeah, and then the writer who worked with them is Mariko Tamaki, who, you know, is absolutely prolific right now in the comic scene. Like,
yeah,
Ignatz, Eisner, Prince, Honor Winner. I could go on. Like, Mariko has won a lot.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So definitely pick up this book. Even if you don't make it to the event, definitely pick up this book. It's worth it. It's a good book.
Yeah, yeah. Should be fun. So that's tonight. On Thursday is chock full of events. The yes. first one is a virtual event hosted by, I believe, Macmillan themselves are going to be hosting this event. They are doing a conversation with Greg Hurwitz and Mark Greene about Greg's Orphan X series. Orphan X, of course, is the first book in this series and has been out for a while. I think the first Orphan X book came out in 2016.
Yeah.
But just like featuring him and his work. So that's going to be. Oh, yeah. OK, it's 7 p.m. EDT. So it's 4 o'clock Pacific time.
Yeah, I was going to say it's an earlier in the day event, and you were correct. It is the event is through Macmillan. You'll see on the link when you go through it that it says at the very end of the emboldened part, register for the event here, and that will take you right to the Macmillan Publishers Zoom registration.
Yeah,
and it'll be super easy. All you have to do is first name, last name, and email.
Yep, so that should be a good time.
Yeah, and then. Later, specifically an hour later.
Yeah.
We have a virtual author chat hosted by the Escondido Library once again. This one is witchy fiction, which is good. Ha, witch is yeah. going to be so much fun. It's going to be Lana Harper, author of Payback's A Witch. I really wanted to say playback. and Juliet Cross, author of Witches Get Stitches.
I love both of these titles.
Right? They're very fun titles. I love a good spooky panel, especially during, you know, the holiday season, as I like to
yeah.
call it.
Uh-huh.
Lana, also shout out because she lives in Chicago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
I just came back from there. Again, I will say
you
that.
You just came back from there.
I'm saying that for you, Lana.
Also on Thursday, this one is an in-store event at 7 o'clock.
Thank you for the third also. I appreciate
yeah.
that.
Lee Goldberg is going to be talking about his new book, Gated Prey, that just came out this week. This is an in-store signing, so masks will be required, as is per usual for people coming into the store right now. This will be just one of our regular events, so it'll be a 30-minute discussion or so with the author about the new book. And then a Q&A section before you can get up and get your book signed and personalized. Because he's going to be at the store, even if you're not able to make the event, if you want to get your book signed and or personalized, make sure you let us know when you order it. We'll have those books set aside to get them signed while he's still in the store. That does mean you have a deadline. I think with the last couple of events that were in store, it was at noon that we yeah. requested people had their orders in by. We'll still be processing payment for orders right up until the event begins. But the earlier
it's
you get that in, the more.
It's just to be easier on Mr. Goldberg himself. Like,
yeah, absolutely. If you place an order at 7:15 or 7:30 and you're like, hey, I want this book signed and personalized, like, there's a good chance we might not get to it because the event is already happening.
Exactly.
Exactly. So that's, yeah. So three events on Thursday. Very busy one for us.
And then feel free to correct me here or cut this part out, but will we have a recording of that available?
I don't think so. We've been talking about, you know, because I know we put all our virtual ones on YouTube. Yeah. We had a discussion, I think, with Nick and with Matt and Jenny about doing like tapings of our in-store events, but I don't think that's something we've got set in place. I'm not sure if that's going to end up happening or not.
I think it's a logistical thing. We're going to have to we're going to either have to figure out how to just have the camera on him and like like a waiver, I'm assuming, for people to be aware that there's filming.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, it just doesn't seem like it's something that we're doing yet. It might be something that becomes available in the future, but...
Okay. Well, then, yeah, let's just cut that part out. I was just curious.
No problem. We've only got one more to talk about this week.
Oh, like my gosh, I missed the last event.
Last event, Monday, November 1st, at 5 o'clock, Greta Kelly is going to be in conversation with R.F. Kuang. Greta's new book, Seventh Queen, is coming out. I think next week, the second, while Burning God, the third book in R.F. Kuang's Poppy War trilogy, is coming out in paperback on November 16th. We're going to have signed book plates available for Rebecca's book, and I believe we'll have signed copies of Seventh Queen, but they won't be personalized. I think they're just going to be like pre-signed when we get them from the publisher.
Yeah.
Should be fun. That'll be just a crowdcast event. Anyone can view and join the event if they want to. But like I said, we will have books of... Oh, interesting. The banner says personalized books available, but the actual description on the website says order a signed copy. So I'll get more details. What? And
we will. Yeah, we'll just put it in the
episode description. We'll have the info. Yep, 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 yep.
Please, so I'll make guys, sure you do that. Please always read the episode description, because any corrections that we make or any like changes to what we say will usually be put down there. If it's like a last minute thing or something that like we're not able to get the info on until after the episode goes up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, people will know if people are keeping track with like what events we're doing. Yesterday we had an event for Elvira's book, and that announcement happened after the minisode last week went up. So there was no time to discuss it. It happens sometimes, you know? So, like, always make sure to check out the description.
I feel like it's because I love Elvira so much that she's almost like a... It's like a... When you want something so bad that it's always just, like, out of your grasp. Because the last time that she was that close to me was, like, at a Comic-Con. And, like, it's just her signing, like, line had capped.
Oh.
And so I got to like see her like at a panel, and like I got to see her through the crowd at the signing, but like I didn't actually get to meet her.
Oh, it's a shame. That's how it goes sometimes.
The tragedy.
But that's all our events. Not a huge week aside from our triple event Thursday. Should be a good time,
that is,
though.
That is a busy one.
That is a busy one. Thankfully, only two of them are ones that are run by us. The Escondido Library one, of course, I believe is on their Facebook page.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about some books?
Yes, let's talk about some books. I am going to talk about a couple comics that we are going to... I'm prefacing this with, we should have them in store at the time that you are hearing this, but as always, delays and such are out of our control, so just know... If we don't have it, it's on the way. Or I'm trying really hard to get it. But the first one I want to talk about is Fear Case. It's by Matt Kind and Tyler Jenkins.
Mm.
This is very, very up my alley. I think I'm going to be hand-selling this one because I'm so interested in just the description alone. It is about a Secret Service agent and his, like, partner who are, like, kind of an odd couple. Like, he's very no-nonsense and his partner's very, like, hippie-ish, it seems. And they are chosen to investigate a mysterious box known only as the Fear Case, that appears throughout history at sites of disasters and tragedies. So, very much this, like, Pandora's box element.
Oh.
And the two of them have to track down the Fear Case while staying one step ahead of a psychotic cult and otherworldly forces behind the case's existence.
This sounds spooky and incredible.
It was originally a 4-issue miniseries, so the trade is only going to be like about $20. So super reasonable. And I'm really... The cover looks sick. Like, I love a good sketchy design.
I'm so curious. I want to read this so bad. I'm so curious as to like what their plan is, right? Because if whoever comes into possession of it has to pass it on in 3 days or face deadly consequences, like,
right?
What do they do when they track it down?
The thing that I love so much about this description, right, is that this feels like a love note to a lot of different horror stories that we grew up with, because you know, you have the nod to the Pandora's box, and you have the nod to the ring through that.
Yes.
And like, in many ways, you know, I look at the story and like the context of like the folklore behind the ring as something that's like just a cultural difference between, like, because it's very similar sounding, like the Pandora's box, the you know, the girl that comes out of the well, those sorts of like curses in folklore are very, you know, they feel similar to one another, like they have relation. And so I'm really excited to see what these two do with this. I can't wait to read it.
Yeah, this sounds fascinating. I'm also going to read this.
What's your
make sure it comes
book?
In. My first book is actually a collection of short stories. This is The Wandering Earth by Xixin Liu. People may know Liu from their Three Body Problem novels. And he is one of the, like a big Chinese sci-fi and fantasy writer.
Yes, I'm familiar.
Yeah, The Wandering Earth is a collection of 10 short stories written by Xixin Liu. The first of which I believe is just called The Wandering Earth, which is the short story that became the Netflix movie a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen, but has been on my list.
It got mixed reviews. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I'd
like to check it out. I'm really fascinated by their writing.
Absolutely.
And just like the sort of like cerebral science fiction, like near Earth science fiction.
The eeriness that it comes with is almost it's almost somehow comforting.
Yeah.
Because like I am scared of space and such. And so that sort of like eeriness on the topic of science fiction feels very
comforting. Yeah, I find it really fascinating. So this one's out this week in hardcover. We have copies in the store already. Check it out. I'm gonna check it out.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's
your next one?
We got a great one. If you like Black Widow, or maybe if you don't like the MCU Black Widow and you're looking for, you know, a different interpretation, you could definitely pick up this book. It is I'm trying to find out the it's volume two. We'll have volume one hopefully also, so you can pick up both of the Kelly Thompson, Raphael de la Torre and Elena Casagrande run of Black Widow.
Okay.
It is set in San Francisco.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So it's right here with us. Let me just read you the description just to help you kind of understand where the story is at this point, because comics are convoluted. Natasha has just been sent through the most emotional adventure of her long life, and the experience has left her looking to do things differently. Now allies new and old will come to her aid as the widow returns to San Francisco. With a new suit, a new base of operations, and a new perspective, Natasha sets her sights on a mysterious emerging threat in the city by the bay. A villain known only as Apogee. But Natasha might not be as ahead of the game as she thought, and not everyone in her orbit is exactly what they seem. San Francisco desperately needs the Black Widow. It just doesn't quite know it yet. Guest starring the White Widow and Anya Corazon. But who is Lucy?
Amazing.
I'm so excited. I actually haven't started this. Oh, and I just have to give a shout out. The cover art is by Adam Hughes.
You completely cut out, Becca.
Did I?
Yeah. You're like, I'm so excited. And then you're just gone.
Oh, man. Okay, let me. Oh. I don't know.
I mean, I hear you now, so I think I was just like, I apologize.
No, it's my fault. I mean, it's not my fault.
The funny thing is, like, your audacity is going to have whatever you said.
Oh, well, there you go.
I just didn't hear it.
Well, I guess you'll get to hear it when you're editing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a little treat.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'll be surprised. Like, oh, yeah, look at this.
But all I was going to say is, I really do encourage people who maybe aren't fans of the Scarlett Johansson Black Widow to check out different comics, that we will have available here at Mysterious Galaxy. Because there's a lot to the character. She's a really interesting, really layered character who has been interpreted in like very different ways by very different people.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that,
She's not always girl boss, okay?
Okay.
Sometimes she's gatekeep. Sometimes she's gaslight.
Great.
But all the time, she's hot.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, no, I love Black Widow. Like, I love all the interpretations of her, except for...
Yeah, that's awesome.
The MCU. Anyways, tell me about your last book.
My last book, I'm cheating a little bit. I normally don't put, like, books that have come out in hardcover in, like, as paperback releases on list. But this is a paperback release of a book that came out a couple years ago, last year, I think, in June, from Alex Landrigan. It's called Crossings. And I, Kellyanne was telling me about this book yesterday.
I was just thinking that it looked like such a Kellyanne book.
It is three different narratives. You can read it like straight through, and it's like three separate short stories. The first one is a ghost story by is a never before seen ghost story by the poet Charles Baudelaire. The next one is a noir romance about an exiled man that's modeled after Walter Benjamin, whose recurring nightmares are cured when he falls in love with a storyteller who draws him into a dangerous intrigue of rare manuscript. And then the last one is like memoirs of a woman turned monarch whose singular life has spanned seven generations. So you can read it straight through.
That
right?
feels very Queen Elizabeth to me.
And it has, yeah, three different stories. But there's also a bit of not a choose your own adventure version, but like there are you can read it in a different order and the narrative like connects together completely differently. And what happens is there's a key in the front of the book of like, well, start with page 150. And when you get to the end of that chapter, it's going to have a new page number. So you turn back to page 37 and you read that chapter. And
I am so fun.
So fascinated. Yeah. About
I
like
love
how
shit
this.
Like that.
Me too, Becca. So like I had to put this one on our list because I was like, give me a book that I don't get to read linearly. Like
oh my God,
I
feel like you and I should both pick up a copy and then like see how differently we end up reading it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah, it sounds fun. So I'm gonna pick this one up for sure. Because yeah, Kellyanne told me that she really, really liked it, and I'm pretty hyped.
Amazing.
So yeah, okay. That's my third one.
Is that everything?
I think that's everything. What are you reading right now?
Oh no. I'm reading so many things. Where's my pile? One second. I'm going to step away.
No, you're fine.
I just picked up the two closest books to me that I'm in the middle of. I'm reading through The Heart Principle, the third in the Kiss Quotient series.
Yeah.
Loving that. And then I'm also so David and I did it backwards, as we often do, where we watch the short and therefore unsatisfying anime for manga, as we did with Wotakoi, Love is Hard for Otaku. And so I'm reading volume one right now. I think he's on volume two or three. And I do just want to say the reason I'm still on volume one is because the American releases, which we have volume one available in stores right now.
Yeah.
Is actually the American release of Wotakoi one is actually the collection of one and two from the Japanese release.
Oh.
So it's a bigger boy. You'll see when you go to buy it that it's like $18. And the reason that it is more expensive is like you'll also see it's bigger than my hand.
It's two books.
It's literally almost bigger than, like, it's bigger in width than The Heart Principle. Like, it's a
That's incredible.
Book.
Yeah.
The first two volumes are like that. Volume one is one and two of the Japanese release. Volume two is three and four. And then I believe it starts going into single release.
Gotcha.
Never mind. David Correction Corner behind me said that the rest of them are still double release.
Oh, interesting, huh?
Yeah, I think it might have just been like...
I wonder why they do it that way.
I mean, damn, Nadia? Nadia just knocked down my controller charging station.
I heard that clatter.
Are you okay? She seems fine and unapologetic. Oh, you're gonna yawn at me? She's tired now.
It sounds like nausea.
What was I saying?
You're talking about...
I was gonna say, I assumed that they did that so that it would be able to have a faster American release.
That makes sense.
Because there's many manga that I'm waiting on, like, volume 3 of to get an American release.
Yeah.
That is, like, on volume, like, 9 in Japan.
Well, at least they're, like, coming out. You'll get there.
So those are two of the many on my TBR pile right now. David and I bought so many books and comics in Chicago in the one short week we were there that we had to buy a box to bring them home in.
That's amazing.
And I think it came out to like 24 pounds.
Dang.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So what are you
reading? I am reading the fourth Chorus of Dragons book right now with Michelle. I'm about 12 chapters into House of Always. This is the one that came out back in May of this year. Thoroughly enjoying it. It's the second time I've read it in like 6 months, but it's so rich and is like brings together a lot of the characters that have been spread across the first two, the first couple of books.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to have like everybody, all of our principal protagonists, like in the same room and like going through like what they've been dealing with up to this point. It's been really fun.
Yeah.
I also just finished Star Wars Visions Ronin a couple days ago. And it was great.
Okay, cool.
It was so good. It's, heavily Japanese culture influenced.
I would assume so. It's set in Japan.
The world that it exists in, the like Star Wars, this version of the Star Wars galaxy is completely unfamiliar to like the one we've seen before, but
okay,
it takes place like,
it's not set in Japan, excuse me, but is it set in like a Japanese like scape?
Yeah. So like you have, the way that the Jedi Council, not the Jedi Council, but like the Jedi organization works is that there are the masters are essentially like lords of their like sectors of space, and so like the Empire is ruled by these lords that have their Jedi like army or whatever that are like their forces, and the Jedi that are strong enough and possess enough skill that they become knights and they're given lightsabers. And then you have Jedi who are like kids who can tap into the Force but aren't quite powerful enough. That are not seen as being strong enough to become knights. So they're just called Guardians.
Okay.
And the book takes place like several decades after the quote unquote fall of the Sith Rebellion. But what the Sith Rebellion was is that like one of these Jedi, these knights, like broke off the order and took his guardians with him and trained them himself, and they became the Sith Order, and it turned into this whole war that ended up with the destruction of the capital planet of the Empire.
Yeah.
And
damn.
Now the Ronin, we don't really know like who he is at the start of the book or how he fits into what's going on with the Sith, but he is a former Sith who's hunting down the remaining Sith forces that are out there.
And I'm not misremembering, right? This is the same Ronin from the...
This is from, from the duel, the first short from Star Wars Visions on Disney Plus.
So
it's so good.
I do have to say too, the reason that I was like set in Japan definitely is because like, I think that the thing that first one really hits is that fantasy Japan thing that like that like Miyazaki films are like known for. Yes, it's Japan, but it's also in this like fantastical mythical space for the purpose of the story.
Yeah, so even though it does the Star Wars thing of like we do have like some planet hopping that goes on and traveling through hyperspace and things like that, like It still feels very like Imperial Japanese throughout. It just has that tone and aesthetic.
I think it's
the audiobook
too, because it's like, obviously there would be other versions of the regime like throughout the galaxy.
And it's just fascinating. I really enjoyed it. I think I'm gonna go back and reread it because everybody has secrets. Like every character is hiding who they are and is holding close to their chest like what their drives are and their mission is, and all of that stuff comes to the table by the end, and I really want to go back and like with the knowledge that I've gained about who these characters are and see like You're how that influences nerd. Their motives and stuff. I know, it's so good.
Shut
though.
Shut up, Gary.
Okay. So that was that. That was go. My other one I finished.
No, but yeah. David picked it up, and I think I'm gonna read it after him because
yeah,
it looks good, but you just sold me on it. Like, I'm excited.
The audiobook is also really cool. I really like the Star Wars audiobooks because they do like music cues and sound effects and stuff. Nice. And this one just has, instead of doing like, it does have moments where the traditional like Star Wars music plays, like the Imperial March comes in at points, of course, but there's also just a lot of really quiet moments where it's just like sort of Japanese inspired like aesthetic. Like background music, and it's
don't say aesthetic.
I don't know what the like actual word I want here is. I don't know culture? What the type of music is called.
Like feudal Japanese music.
What? Yeah, it's just like it's got a lot of like moments of that, especially in like quiet moments where characters are just talking, where you have like that sort of in the background. It was great. It was really good. I liked
it
a lot.
I'm like so curious if there's a word now, because like, you know, there's like words for so much.
Yeah. I'm sure that there's like an official, like, this is what this kind of music is called, but I would have to do like actual research to figure that out real quickly. But yeah, people should definitely go read that if they haven't picked it up already. We still have lots and lots and lots of signed book plates.
The term you were looking for is Japanese traditional music.
Okay, that makes
sense. It is a term that's often used to describe historical Japanese folk music or traditional music.
Yeah, okay, so that's exactly. Yeah, that's exactly, I think, what I'm thinking of.
Because you're thinking of, like, the flute and the drums and,
yeah, the sort of thing that you would hear in, like, a Kurosawa film or something.
Yeah, so that's, like, from what I'm seeing is, like, 17th century feudalism. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they do a lot of that, and it's just really cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah. That's what I've been reading.
Do you want to get us out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Of course, you can find us on all social media platforms at Mist Galaxy Books. Go check us out on Twitter and TikTok and Instagram and all those things. Thank you, of course, to Austin Farmer for allowing us to use the intro and outro music cut from his track Kill the Farm Boy off the album Bookshelf Symphony Orchestra. You can find more information about him in the episode description below. Austin does so many cool things. He's always got so many cool projects.
Where can they find you?
People can find me. Oh, people can find me on Twitter at TheGaryRoby. I also do a Star Wars podcast called New Republic Archives over on duelinggenre.com. And this week, actually also out today, the 1 year anniversary episode of my Blazeball podcast, Infinite Cities Blazeball, comes out, and we're interviewing a member of the development team.
Happy anniversary to the podcast.
Yeah. So we reached out and we got one of the people that are actually like members of the game band that make the game to come talk to us.
That's really cool.
Yeah. There's also like supposed to be some big announcement happening that I today that we don't know about yet. So that may or may not be in our episode. It'll be fun.
Cool.
I'm hyped about it. Where can we find you?
They can find me on Twitter and TikTok at Becca Bean, BEEAN. And then you can also find me at www.popculturepunk.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I think that was everything. Thanks for listening again, of course. And we'll see you again soon in a galaxy not so far away.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.